was supernatural. So we're so excited today, and they're going to come up as I introduce them. We have Pastor Fred Benzel from the Grace Life Church in Lincoln. All right. We also have Pastor David Johnson from Restoration Church in Elk Grove. Woo! And we have Pastor Jacob Taylor from the Father's House, Roseville. All right. So the fun thing is, because this is, we were talking today, like somebody was like, I was introducing some people, and they were like, how do you know everybody? Well, I don't know everybody yet, but I'm pretty familiar with most of you. And the fact is, this is not an event. This is a family. Like, we do stuff together outside of this lunch. And so I could tell really funny stories about every single one of these guys, but I will spare them the embarrassment. And we are missing today Pastor Eva Rodriguez from New Seasons. She texted us late last night. She was trying to hold out, but her throat's literally on fire, so she couldn't speak. And so we'll get her next time, so keep her in prayer. So they're going to just go one right after another, and we are going to be the congregation that we love to preach to. All right? All right, here we go. All right, let's hear it for Pastor Fred.
All right, thank you all. Thank you. How about Don and Krista? Give it up for them again. We love, we appreciate you guys. I appreciate what Don said earlier about all of us, whether we're a house church or a mega church, we all help create a spiritual climate in our region for Jesus. And so thank you for sharing that, Don. And I heard a stat recently that 95% of churches are 250 people or less, or are a smaller church. I'm in that category. Who else can join me and say you're in that category? Most of us are. And so we appreciate that. But, you know, I want to just share a few thoughts today. Cindy and I, actually last December, my wife Cindy Honeywave, she's right there in the middle. And but anyways, that's right. We just actually crossed over 30 years of ministry just this past December. And so God's been faithful. But I want to share just a couple thoughts about longevity in ministry. Longevity, how many of you are interested in that? I mean, to go for the long haul, because these days more and more pastors are ministry folks are dropping off and not having that longevity. But for us, I want to share a few things that might connect with some of you. Some of you I know have been in ministry longer than that. I was talking with Harlan and Jerry Matson, 35 years of ministry, and some of you longer than that. But you know, that many years in ministry, you can accidentally learn some things, right? You just stumble over some things accidentally, not even on purpose. You just learn something accidentally. So I want to share just a few things that we've kind of learned accidentally over the years to help us with longevity. And one of the things, one of the first things I've learned is, we knew we were called. We knew we had a call from God. And if you know you've got a call from God in those challenging times and those tough times, it's going to hold you steady. I mean, if you don't, listen, ministry is difficult enough with the call. And so if you're not called, let me know how that works out. Because you cannot just have the ministry as an occupation. If you need to make money and you're not called, go do something else. But if you know you're called, and if you've got a call, and all of you that are called, you have a special way that God called you. You can refer back to that. And say, you know what? God, what am I going to do? If I quit the ministry, how am I going to reconcile that with God? Because there's a call upon our lives, right? So if you know you're called, that'll sustain you. I remember years ago, I was just going through some stuff earlier in our ministry, and I told Cindy one day, I'm like, honey, I'm done, finished. This is not what I thought it would be. I'm quitting. She said, I'm fine with it. She said, go right ahead. Just show up at the church office tomorrow morning. If you got to quit for a day, fine, but make sure you're there. So, but the call of God, come on, will sustain you in tough times. And so make sure you keep that strong. The other thing that we stumbled over the years that helped us in longevity in ministry is, especially with Cindy and I, we learned to stay in our own lanes. I mean, listen, we found this out just almost accidentally. She's probably not going to change me, and I'm not going to change her, and other people are not going to necessarily change you. Now, we have our change through Jesus. We understand that. But we found out, listen, the areas that we are gifted in, that we're strong in, get in that lane and stay there. Because for the longest time, I was wanting her to be like me, or she's wanting me to be like her, and it caused stress in our marriage and problems. Thank God the day we just signed it, because my wife, she is a gift hog. She's got a ton of gifts. I mean, she's got, so she's an anointed worship leader. She's a beautiful administrator. She's passionate for leadership. Me, I'm like, I don't really care about structure or leadership. I want to preach, pray, and prophesy. Leave me alone. I don't really feel like doing all that other stuff, but yet it has to be done. But she has a strength to bring structure, administration, leadership, a passion for that. So finally she quit wanting me to do it and said, honey, do what you're good at. And I'm going to do what I'm good at, and you get others around you to help you. And if we stay in our lane, there's more peace in our marriage. There's more peace in our life and our ministry, because we're not trying to be something we're not. So we stay in our lanes. Okay, I got a few more. I got to move quickly. Oh, by the way, another note on that stay in your lane thing. I don't know how many New England Patriots fans here we have, probably not many, but I know they keep winning. But imagine Bill Belichick saying to Tom Brady and Gronk, he said, let's do something this different this year. Gronk, why don't you go to the quarterback position, and Tom, you play the tight end position. I mean, that's crazy to think about. No, they stay with their strengths. And they prevail and they prosper. So it's just a thought. It worked for us. Here's another thing. We realized over the years that we have to do church differently to stay with the changing culture. Several years ago, many years ago, some years ago now, we just said, you know what? Our ministry just seems to be dying off. And we were just doing church like we did 15 or 20 years ago. We finally realized our message, the word of God, we don't compromise there, but the methods and the way we do church, we've learned kind of changed a little bit over the years to match the culture. And so we started surrounding ourselves with younger people, asking them about culture and asking how we could be relevant. And so that's helped us with longevity over the years. Now, I got a couple minutes left. Here's another thing that we've learned. We take time off regularly. We're not workaholics. My wife is, in fact, Don calls Cindy the fun, he calls us the fun pastor, but really my wife's the fun lady, Don, if you want to know the truth about it. In fact, she told me years ago, she said, honey, if you wouldn't have married me, your life would be boring. And I said, I got to admit, you're right. But we're always doing stuff. We just got back from a cruise recently. We've got other stuff planning. We take time off. We enjoy. We don't just work all the time. And so that has kept us refreshed over the years, gives us life. We take time off. We do stuff. It's fun stuff. And don't let anybody give you crap over it. Can I say that? I mean, I don't know if I can say that or not, but people in the church, you guys, just stop all that. So just take time off and enjoy. I hope it's okay to say that. And so take time off. Get rest. Don't feel guilty about it, all right? And I got 1 minute left here. We learned early on in our ministry not to be afraid to talk about money in church or tithes and offerings. Anybody else need money in their ministry besides us? I mean, you gotta have a flow in there. There's a couple things I learned people are sensitive about. If you talk about their kids, you talk about money, it's like, oh, they're a little touchy about it. But you know what? We've never been afraid to encourage people to give concerning tithes and offerings and give them a scripture and encourage them with a testimony, because we all need an inflow. And one last thing, don't fall out over the ebb and flow of church attendance and church giving. One Sunday you're down and the offering's down, you're down and discouraged. The next Sunday, offering's up and the attendance is up, you feel encouraged. Listen, there's ebb and flow of ministry. We know, we've learned that over the years. We've had a bigger income and more people in our ministry some years ago than we do now. But you know, we're just flowing with ebb and flow, and know that God's going to work out everything for good. So, all right, God bless you guys. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah. Now I'm going to talk fast because I only have a few minutes. And if you hear some gibberish going on, it's not me speaking in tongues. It's my phone going crazy. I don't know. You know, I need my 5-year-old grandson to come in and set me straight like Paw here, and he'll give it back. One of the things that when Don asked me, he says, we were sitting in a funeral of all places, and I'm on strike from funerals right now. And he said to me, he said, you know, would you come and share? And I said, yeah, I have to make sure. If I had to check with my wife to make sure I wasn't on my anniversary, because this is my anniversary month, and we're celebrating 46 years. Yeah, boy. So I said, yeah. So I'm praying and asking God, you know, say, so Lord, what do you say to people who have given their lives for the kingdom of God and who have sold out and given everything they've had and invested everything that they could possibly do? The last thing you need is another message. Somebody say amen, or somebody to preach at you. And so I was sitting there and I said, Lord, so my one of the prayers that I've had, I know I'm talking fast, but, you know, here we go. There it is. And so one of the things that the Lord said, I've been praying that I would, one, that my eyes, I said, Lord, open my eyes so I can see, open my ears so I can hear, open my heart so I can understand. And it's been my prayer for at least a year. And I still seem like I can't see and I can't hear sometimes and I don't understand. And I discovered that one of the reasons that will stop me from hearing, seeing, and understanding is that I was so busy that I needed to unplug. I see, I ain't the only one. I know that's great English. I ain't the only one. But I had to unplug, you know, and I had to slow down to the speed of life. Now, I know us pastors and pastorettes and I'm sorry. But one of the things that, you know, we don't believe in sacrificing we don't believe in children's sacrifice, but we sacrifice our kids on the altar of ministry. Because we can get so caught up in doing what we do. You know, I've been the senior pastor for 11 years and served my brother in Atlanta for 30 years. I really love serving him more than I love being a senior pastor. It's just so much easier. And one of the things I recognized that I had to come to a place that I just had to slow down. Because, you know, there's always another sermon to preach. There's always another book to read. There's always another class to go through. There's always another email. There's always another Facebook post. Instagram, it goes on and on. Twitter, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And you get caught up in the hype of that, and you kind of miss. And what we really need to do is enter into God's rest. How am I looking? 4 minutes. Oh, you got to hurry, boy. So what I've decided I had to do, I had to unplug. Because, you know, we're plugged in. This thing right here is from the fifth level of hell. Because it always goes off. It always goes off. It always dings. In my house, we had to decide when we sit down to eat dinner, you can't bring your phone to the table. And you know amens on that. I have to take my watch off because now I got a smartwatch, so it'll let me know when I don't have my phone with me. So you have to unplug all the way, because sometimes we can get so consumed in doing the work of the ministry that we miss our time with him. Give you one scripture. Job, in Job, first chapter, you know, the sons of God come together and the devil showed up. He go to church more than the saints do, but and he shows up and he's asked the question, where you been? Where you been? Boy, where you been? I've been running to and fro seeking who I can devour. So maybe the thing we have to look at, are we just running to and fro, or are we ascending and descending? Because there's something about getting in his presence. Because, you know, the busy work is always there. The running back and forth and doing. Because there's always somebody to pray for. It's always, you know the stuff, right? Come on, say yes. Give me a better yes than that. Oh, give me a real good yes like you would want. Yeah, thank you very much. And so sometimes, you know, when you're running to and fro, maybe we're acting more like Satan than we are. Because we get so caught up in the busyness of the ministry You know, and we forget our, you know, we sacrifice our wives, we sacrifice our children, our grandkids, and it goes on and on. We sacrifice relationships. We do all of that for the sake of the ministry, and we miss what it really means to enter into a place of rest. Got 2 minutes. I'm doing good. Usually I overstate my welcome. So the challenge, oh, here we go. So the challenge is, how do we unplug? I discovered something. It takes faith to rest. I'll get on this side because y'all didn't act right. I've traveled here. It takes faith to rest. Well, let's try it all together one more time. It takes faith to rest. And I've discovered, you know, it's something. Oh, 1 minute, 30 seconds. It's discovered when you go on vacation, you know, when you go for a week, 4 days you sleep. By the time you get ready to really relax, it's time to come back home and get back in the grind. And I've discovered that in order for us to really enter, there's a place where we have to enter into his rest. Because all of us, I say this one last thing. I was in a conference with Dr. Samuel Chad, and he made a statement, and he said to me, he said to the pastors, he says, do you know what they say at your funeral when it's over? And we were all looking for something deep. And he said, they say, pass the fried chicken. Just put everything in perspective for me, because we can get so busy doing stuff, and when we check out, you know, give me the drumstick or the thigh. And the only ones who are really hurting are the ones who we've actually poured our life into. Tell somebody, it takes faith to rest. So stop going to and fro and ascend and descend.
Man. I don't know who made the decision to let me go third. That's not fair. Have you guys ever been to, you know, a family event, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, when you got the kids' table and then the prestigious adults' table? I feel like I finally graduated to the adult table. Oh, praise God. Feels good to be here. Table's still a little too high, but man, it feels good to be here. But I've had the honor and the privilege to grow up under some amazing, amazing leaders in ministry. And first of all, I was Pastor Don and Krista's youth pastor for years. So I just want to honor them. It's amazing. And now I get to serve under Pastor Dave Patterson of the Father's House in Vacaville. And, you know, one thing that they've all had in common is they believe in equipping pastors. They believe in seeing pastors be successful and do what God's called them to do. And there's one thing Pastor Don used to tell me when I was a youth pastor that really stuck. And he said, we pastor a region together. We do this together. Always reminded me that it's bigger than your ministry. It's bigger than your church. It's about a region. It's about a city meeting Jesus. We do this thing together. And for a couple minutes here, there's a portion of scripture that I've been challenged with lately. And it's popular. We've probably all taught from it a million times. But for the next 6 minutes and 47 seconds, I'll talk about it. John chapter 13, verse 34. This is Jesus talking. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. And listen to this. And your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another. Love as I have loved you. And you know, I find it interesting that Jesus, the word choice he uses in the original Greek. You know, there's a lot of different words. There's four primary ones. One's a brother love, right? A family love. But Jesus isn't telling people, I want you to love each other like family. He doesn't even say, I want you to love each other like best friends. He says, I want you to agape love each other. I want you to love each other with a God-like love. The love that you can only give out when you've received. The love that's unconditional. The love that's unmerited. The love that doesn't fail. The love that never ends. The love that keeps on loving, whether it's ever reciprocated or not. That's the way I want you to love. And this is a command to his disciples. And, you know, now as I read that through the lens of a pastor, as a leader of disciples, I can't help but feel a little more weight to show that agape love to other pastors in my city. The guys that are down the street, around the corner, that might look a little different, talk a little different, maybe even believe a little different. Am I truly agape loving them and believing in them? Because listen, when you agape love somebody, when you truly are loving in the manner in which we have been loved by our Father, that means I love you and I will do whatever I can to see you succeed. That means when you thrive, I celebrate. When you grow, I am there to cheer you on because I am on your team. I am your biggest cheerleader. When you cry, I cry. When you're heartbroken, I'm heartbroken because I am with you and I'm going to love you in the manner in which I myself have been loved. This is the way we're called to love each other as pastors. We're on the same team. We're going the same direction. We've got to get to the end zone. It's going to take you and me doing this thing together. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the context of this commandment is right after Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples, right after he had taken the position of a servant as a slave and washed his disciples' feet. You know, when we truly agape love each other, that means I'm not intimidated to serve you unconditionally. That means I'm not afraid to get down and do whatever it takes to see you thrive and to see you succeed and to see you do what God has called you and designed you to do. And let me tell you something, Pastor. This city needs you. This city needs your gifting. We need your calling. We need the thing that God has planted inside of you. We need the God dream that he gave you to come to fruition. And we need each other. We need each other. We need to love each other in the manner that we've been loved. And, you know, just getting a picture of all of us together, truly linking arm in arm, saying we're fighting for a city together. We truly decide that I'm going to love you regardless. I'm not going to let differences divide us, but I'm going to celebrate the beauty of variety. I'm going to choose to love you. I'm going to fight for love. I'm going to fight for unity, and we are going to reach a city together. That's what we're called to. There's such a beauty in the bride of Christ when we do what God's called us to do. When we truly agape love each other like we're called to. I want you to notice, Jesus says when we get this right, that's when we prove to the world that we're his disciples. It's after we've loved each other like we're called to. That's when the eyes of the world begin to look over and say, there's something different there. The bride of Christ is so beautiful when we truly fight for unity and fight for love. And you know, my wife and I have been married for 6 years. And we got married at 12. I'm just kidding. We're a little older. I'm from Arkansas, but not that Arkansas. But we got married 6 years ago, and I was actually the last person that got to see my wife walk down the aisle. I had my back turned to her, and she was walking this way. And I remember we had all the bridesmaids here and all the groomsmen here. But I knew the moment she walked in because I could hear the air in the room just leave. I could hear this collective gasp as she walked in the room. And I'll never forget this moment as long as I live. I'm sitting right here, and her maid of honor taps me on the shoulder and tells me I can look. And as I turn around, I see her walking down the aisle, and she's so beautiful and radiant. By the way, I'm making some brownie points right now, but absolutely gorgeous as she walked down the aisle, right? And you can ask anyone that was there. It's the only time I've ever seen this. But everyone began to applaud and to cheer and to yell as she was walking down the aisle. This bride that was beautiful. This bride that was radiant. I can't help but think about that moment and think about the bride of church, the bride of Christ in Sacramento. That if we get this right, as we begin to walk towards our groom, as we begin to walk towards Jesus, doing what we're called to do, arm in arm, fighting for each other, believing for each other, standing together, the eyes of the world begin to look and say, there's something different there, and I want whatever they have. I want that love. I want that grace. Listen, we need each other. We're called to love each other in an agape way, and we're called to pastor a region together. Thank you guys so much.
Can we all stand together in appreciation? And we just thank God. Thank you so much, gentlemen. It was awesome. Do you receive the word that was given today? We just receive that with our hearts. Amen. And we claim, take hold of all that word that we are going to have. Enter into a spirit of rest by faith. And that our families will step into it with us. And I do see that day coming. And I'm kind of stalling for the music to start appearing magically. But anyway, we're going to move into a time of prayer so that we can really lay hold of all the promises that were just talked about. And if you would just go ahead and gather around with a couple people near you and pray for one another. I know that there are many needs represented here in this room. There are people that are believing God for miracles in their health, and their family's health. Some people here need buildings to meet in for their church. I mean, those are real things. So let's just believe God that we're going to hear reports of great testimonies coming out of today. And we just thank you guys again so much. That was powerful. It was awesome. So please just take some time right now, spend a few minutes to gather with a couple people and just pray for one another as we prepare to go ahead and dismiss for the rest of the day.